The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Gonna lie, I kind of wish every time I hear that it was Jerry Springer. Oh, the Jerry Springer show. I've gone to a taping. It is a delight. Just, you know, the mid-90s, the late 90s, they were a delight. Paul Feinbaum show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. I've gone completely off the rails. I'm Jason Fitz hanging out for Paul. I wonder if Paul's ever been to Jerry Springer. I can't imagine. 855-242-7285. That's how you get in on the fun as we continue to figure out what the future of college football looks like. 855-242-7285 is how you hang out with us. And Sam in Kansas wants to hang out. Sam, always love it when you guys take over the show. Sam, what you got? Thanks for hanging out with me.
Well, first of all, I want to know, why can't the SEC and the ACC just merge and kill everything? Because they're on the same coast. I was wondering why they can't do it. So what I was saying is, why can't the SEC and the ACC merge and the Pac-12 and Big 12 merge and the Big 10 and it becomes independent on its own?
Well, the ACC technically could merge with the SEC. I don't know that there's value for the – like, this is one of those mergers where two businesses aren't bringing the same amount to the table, right, Sam?
What I think it would help geographically if they could just – you know how there's an independence, like BYU's independent, was independent. I was just wondering, because if there's one independent group, it could be the Big Ten. Because it would geographically make sense. Instead of four teams like Notre Dame, BYU, et cetera, being independent, why can't the ACC and the Big Ten, the ACC and the SEC merge, the Big Ten become independent, the Pac-12 and Big 12 merge?
Yeah, well, I understand the question, Sam, and I appreciate the call a lot, man. I would say this. There's not really an incentive. Like, you mentioned geography. It doesn't matter. Like, geography doesn't matter to college football anymore. That's fact, and we saw that. I mean, realistically, USC in L.A., and UCLA, I don't know how often y'all have been on cross-country flights, but they are exhausting, right? And they just said, no, we're good with that. We're going to play Penn State every year. We're going to play Rutgers every year. What does that look like? Geography doesn't really matter. And it's an unfortunate part of this. But to your point, a merger only works. See, there's a difference in business between mergers and acquisitions, right? So a merger works if I come to the table with the same amount of equity. So if I am company A, if you wanted to talk about an SEC Big Ten merger, okay, now we're having a real conversation, because there's so many big brands in that. The ACC is not bringing enough to the table to make it worth it, right? Like, the ACC is coming to the table saying, please, sir, may I have some more? Versus the SEC that's coming over to the table saying, why you? The Big 12 and the Pac-12 as a merger makes a little sense. Actually makes a lot of sense. The Big 12 and the Pac-12 as a merger makes a lot of sense. The problem is, the Big 12 and the Pac-12, what do you hit? If you get the Big 12 and the Pac-12 together, what's your final product on that? Is it really intimidating compared to the others? You got a lot of teams, but you don't have a lot of great teams. Like, if you all play fantasy football, you know, when you start playing fantasy football, there's this great debate. Do you want the best player, or do you want a bunch of pretty good players? The Pac-12 right now, even if they merge with the Big 12, is going to be a bunch of pretty good. Maybe a bunch of reasonably good. It's going to be, you know, an Oregon team that is worth a ton of money, a Washington team that's also very profitable. If you look at the Forbes list of profitable college football programs, Washington and Oregon are both top 20. Okay? So Forbes tells you that those two brands have value. Not taking anything away from that. After that, what do you have? A Cincinnati team that had to beg and plead and get everything to break right to get into the playoffs. A UCF team that made up an imaginary national championship to try and make themselves feel better about all of it. Like, what's your other brand? Like, the Big 12 is essentially, like, I don't know. It's if the AAC decided they were going to go into the gym and take a little bit of steroids, not a lot of steroids, not like Hulk Hogan steroids, just a little bit of steroids. That's where the Big 12 is now. I don't think it's a huge, big leap. So if you're the Pac-12, you're looking to merge. Like, what the merger that makes the most sense to me would be the Pac-12 and the ACC. The Pac-12 and the ACC merging makes sense because they're both bringing value. North Carolina, as a brand, has value. Like, y'all got to stop just thinking about football. You got to stop thinking about geography, and you got to start thinking about money. But Bobby Carpenter said it smartly earlier. One of the smartest things that we heard from Bobby earlier today was, remember, if we believe that the average value right now of the Big Ten TV contract is going to be $100 million, that is not a misspeak for me for once, $100 million per year per school. Now, $100 million per year per school to be in the Big Ten. If you're going to add somebody, that means they got to make your new value $101 million per year per school. You aren't adding anybody that takes money away. Like, the whole reason USC and UCLA have gone there is because their deal with the Pac-12 was going to be about $30 million. They will make $70 million more per year by being in this new version of the Big Ten. So if you want to talk about adding somebody, well, you're not going to share the pizza unless they're bringing more pizza. Like, nobody wants to bring the guy to the house for your party. You're having everybody over. It's college football Saturday, right? You're having everybody over. You decide that you're going to have a potluck. We all know the one person that brings carrots to a potluck, right? The one person that brings the veggie tray to the potluck. Nobody wants a veggie tray in this situation. We all know what everybody wants. It's a Saturday. You want pizza and beer, right? You want pizza, wings, and beer, right? So whoever's coming to the party better bring enough pizza, wings, and beer that it not only doesn't take away from the people that are there, it adds to the people. You don't just want to party with a bunch of people there. You want to party with a bunch of people that brought stuff. And if they're not bringing enough, oh, now all of a sudden, like, I order, you know, me and the guys hanging out on the show, right? We order a big old cheese pizza. Cheese, because great pizza doesn't need toppings. I don't care what you tell me. I don't need to put any topping on pizza. Cheese is fine. I need cheese and sauce. That's it. All right, so I got a massive cheese pizza. The three of us hanging out, we're eating our cheese pizza. Suddenly, our boy Devin shows up. Now, Devin walks in the door, didn't bring any pizza. Now my large pizza doesn't go near as far. Devin shows up, and he brings a little pizza, but he eats more pizza than he brings? We're still not getting enough. At the end of the day, I don't know. This is why I was a fat kid growing up. It all comes back to food. At the end of the day, we all better bring the same amount to this Golden Corral, or we're not going to be eating together. That's what you got to start thinking about when it comes to this expansion. This expansion is about who's going to bring more food to the buffet. Now, North Carolina can bring food to the buffet. Maybe not in football. Maybe it's not a glorious football program, but there's value there. Oregon brings food to the buffet. Washington brings food to the buffet. Clemson brings a little food to the buffet. Clemson brings food to the buffet, but you're not sure how long the food's going to last. Like, Clemson brings warm potato salad. Like, you can only trust it for a few minutes before you're not sure what's going to happen to the future of that potato salad. Is it now too warm? Right? At the end of the day, that's what all of this is about. So if it's all about who can bring equal amounts of food, I can find a path of the Pac-12 and the Big 12 bringing equal amounts of okay food with a couple of really good dishes. In the ACC and the Pac-12, I can see there a bunch of dishes that are pretty good and a few dishes that are stars from each side. But the ACC ain't bringing enough pizza to get to hang out at the pizza party of the SEC at all. The SEC's best solution there is not to merge. It's to cherry pick the people they know that will bring enough pizza for everybody and that will make them more full in the end. That is what the future of college football looks like. And in the meantime, when you start breaking down that future, the question is, what's going to happen to geographic rivalries? And who's going to make sure that all of it's being taken care of the right way? Who can actually be the host of this party? One of our biggest experts spoke on it. I'll tell you what I think about it. We'll do it next. The Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 81. Jason Fitz filling in.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Pop, pop, bum. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. Paul's not singing to you. Paul's not serenading you. I don't know. He might actually. I don't know. Can Paul sing? Does anybody know? Somebody call in and tell me if Paul can sing. 855-242-7285. Good proof. Maybe I'll text him. I'll find out if Paul can sing. It's Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 81. I'm Jason Fitz hanging out with you. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. Obviously, you can also tweet the show at Feinbaum. And you can call in 855-242-7285. What do you want out of all of this college football expansion? What would really get you fired up at a different level? Like, what does the SEC need in your mind? And maybe the answer is nothing. I'm not 100% convinced the answer isn't nothing. I'm not 100% convinced that the SEC couldn't just close the gates and say, nah, this neighborhood's good. You guys can move in somewhere else. I don't know. I want your thoughts on it. 855-242-7285. There's one challenge that the SEC is going to be facing. We'll get to that in a second. But we got to get to Larry hanging out with us in Shelby. Larry hanging out in Shelby. Thanks for calling the show, man. What you got?
Hey, man. Good time to you, Jason. Doing a good job so far, baby. Sounding good. Roll tight. Hey, check it out. First thing I want to say, I want to congratulate Darryl as being a veteran. I didn't know that, but I'd like to know what year he served and what war he was in. I was just kind of curious. But getting back to what you're talking about, I think getting them hair fluffers in the SEC, it's just going to be fun smacking them around. It ain't going to be none of that stuff like they're used to. Like, you know, the only thing them people's qualified to do is women's swim team. You know, I mean, they ain't going to last in the SEC. They should have went and got anybody anywhere else but here. I mean, this is a tough-ass league, Jack. We don't play. No. And Paul can't sing. He can't carry a tune in a water bucket. I mean, seriously. I mean, that boy can't sing. I've been up there in Atlanta when we was all partying and stuff. We beat up on their Elite, Dan Z, and all them in golf. We whooped that ass so good. Me and Rich from Atlanta, we beat them so bad. And, I was hanging out with them. But I think the SEC, that's enough. That's enough. I think we all right with them hair fluffers in there. That'll be okay. We'll smack them around. But, I'm just excited. But you're talking about 2024 and a lot of this. Hell, I'm 74, man. I ain't worried about 2024. Hell, I want it now. I don't care about what's going to happen in 2024. Hell, I may not be here. Well, but when you're 74, man, you don't count on that many years ahead.
I mean, Larry.
Ain't that right?
A, we should all be living every day like we ain't counting on that. But B, I mean, Roll Tide, you feeling good going in? I mean, if you're not worried about 2024, you worried at all about this year?
No, I mean, I've been watching YouTube, man, and keeping up with the recruits. And, of course, I believe they're creating monsters, man. They're giving these high school kids big money. And they don't even know they're a five-star. And that's all been said, man. You watch them on film, that's all good. Who are they playing? But then you're going to pile money on them, you're creating monsters. That's all you're doing. You're probably going to ruin a lot of good high school athletes with money. Money is the root, baby, and you know it. And I just think it was a bad move doing that. But on the other hand, I'm glad for them. And, you know, I wish I could have got paid for my likeness and all I got going on. You know, I'd be rich, good looking as I am.
Oh, Larry, thanks for the call, man. That's awesome. Good looking as he is. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. Like, Larry, get it.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. And I will tell you guys a couple of things about that. Number one, Larry golfed with Finebaum. I'm never going to golf with Finebaum. It's true. I got asked recently to partake in a golf tournament, a charity golf event. Not even lying. Their one rule was I couldn't be part of the golf. Their one rule was if I was going to come to the golf tournament, I could sit in with the band, but there was no chance that I was swinging a golf club, which is probably for the best for everybody. Like, I think my natural state on a golf course is to drive around in the golf cart and to trash talk everybody. I'm in for that. That's my real gift from all of it. And Larry, look, you know, if you're good looking in high school and you can make money off your name, image, likeness, I want you to. I want models coming out of high school. I want math tutors getting paid. I want athletes paid. I want everybody I live in a world where I want to see absolutely everybody make that tag. Like, just walk out of high school with just an absolute wad of cash in your pocket. I'm in for all of that. So, you know, we see that a little different, but I appreciate your call. And I appreciate you hanging out with me. Sam in Arkansas calling into the Paul Finebaum Show. Sam, thanks for calling the show, man. What you got?
I wanted to talk about, I know we moved on to talking about the NIL, but I want to talk about, we're narrowing down the SEC. Why has no one talked about getting Missouri out of there?
I mean, I don't have any problem getting Missouri out of there. I keep talking about getting Vandy out of there. Like, I don't have any problem cleaning up. Like, do you got somebody you want to replace with Missouri with?
Not necessarily. I really liked earlier the caller's idea to introduce two per state. Obviously not in Arkansas. We don't have a big enough market for that. Arkansas State's not doing anything in the SEC, but culturally wise, Missouri fits much better with the, especially 12.
Well, here's the one thing, and thanks for the call, Sam. Like, I'm all in for getting rid of some of these teams. Like, look, if you're going to be a mega conference and you really want to be the best, like, how many of y'all have called in over the course of today or yesterday and told me essentially in some way that iron sharpens iron? Somebody want to find the iron in Vandy? I don't know where it is. See, this is where I made some people mad yesterday talking about relegation. This is where we can make things interesting because Missouri was 6-7 last year overall, 3-5 in the conference, but 6-7. I mean, is that worth kicking out? Because certainly if that's worth kicking out, then cough LSU, cough Auburn, we kicking them out. Now we ain't kicking them out. I mean, it's not easy to kick anybody out of any conference. I understand that. It's never that simple. There's a lot of money on the line for a lot of different teams. But you at least got to look at it and say, who's investing? Who's at least trying? Who's trying to put something out there? We all know the answer to Vandy is they are not trying. And for that reason and that reason alone, I'd have no problem looking around and saying, hey, nope, not you, Fat Jesus. You're out. But I also think that that's where relegation comes into the process. Like, we want to have a 30-team SEC. I'm good with that. I just think we need an SEC and an SEC minus. Like an SEC plus, SEC minus. And then you have relegation. One caller yesterday suggested, I'm stealing this. I love this idea. It comes down to one game. You take the two teams that are at the bottom of the barrel, you know, and suddenly you make them play in a bowl game, and the loser is going to be relegated. The winner gets to stay in the SEC. Oh, I love that idea. Plus, think about the way we pay attention to the NBA, right? And we pay attention to the play-in tournament now. If you're not a basketball fan, you may not know this. But the way they do the playoffs now, instead of just having the top eight go to the playoffs, their 7-10 are now in a play-in little mini tournament. And they're fighting for their opportunity to be in the playoffs, right? I love the idea of doing a little like mini relegation. So, you know, if you have a 4-team playoff, that's great. But then you take the bottom four teams and you make them play for the opportunity to even fight for their lives, remain in the SEC. Well, obviously you wouldn't kick them out of the conference, but maybe the next year they're in a lower tier and the lower tier gets less money. You really want to make teams. Like, if this is just about money, then start taking money from teams that don't invest. Start taking money from teams that aren't competitive. Indiana had a wretched football team last year, right? Indiana was just bad, 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 bad in the Big Ten. How much more pressure would it put on everybody at Indiana if you knew that you were going to have to play Northwestern for the opportunity to even stay in the Big Ten? Oh, give me that glory. suddenly we'd be paying attention to three-win teams for the last 2 weeks of the season, because instead of just looking at who's going to make it to the playoff, we're looking at who's even going to stay in major conferences. Oh, it's the Ted Lasso effect. Give me all of the Ted Lasso drama in college football if we're going to go to mega conferences. If we're going to keep growing, and the answer is to keep adding good teams, at least address your own teams, your own problems in your own house as you start to grow. Because the SEC greatness conversation often forgets the bottom of the barrel. There's some really bad football teams in the SEC at times. So make them pay the ultimate price for it, and make sure that the next year they make less money. That is a way to suddenly get everybody super excited about the entire thing. We didn't get to it yet. We will get to it. The one problem that is going to be facing all of this mega conference conversation, Reese Davis chimed in on it. I want you to hear it. We'll do that later in the show. But we need to talk to one of our best writers next and give us all the indications of what the latest is on this, where we're headed in college football, and what it means for the SEC and the Big Ten moving forward. We'll do that next on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Jason Fitz filling in for Paul.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 81. I'm Jason Fitz, filling in for Paul. You can tweet me, at Jason Fitz. I love the fact, like, only on the Paul Feinbaum Show, like, realizing that I spent most of my life playing country music for a living. One of my favorite things about Twitter is that half the world presumes that because I lived in the South for 25 years of my life and played country music, that means I lean a certain way. And the Paul Feinbaum audience at times decides that because I guess I lived in Nashville, that, like, as some people on Twitter have accused me of being this liberal SEC hating. I'm not sure what any of it has to do. The one thing I would say is this. You know the phone number, 855-242-PAUL, 855-242-7285. My least favorite thing about keyboard warriors is that they choose to type. If you're smart enough to type, you should be smart enough to dial a phone number. And if you're smart enough to dial a phone number, then call me and we can have it out. Otherwise, just sit down, shut up, and color in your books. In the meantime, I've got so much to say with an actual expert that can get everybody clued in on what we need to know about what's going on in the world. Bill Connolly, ESPN writer, joins us. Bill, always appreciate your work. Always appreciate your time. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. So we're trying to figure out, like all of us are trying to figure out what the future looks like over the course of the next couple of weeks. But is there something that you're looking at that you think could actually be resolved in a reasonable amount of time before we hit this season that will tell us anything about the future of what we could see?
Well, the most interesting thing to me is, we know the Big Ten is looking at its media rights, trying to figure all that out and negotiate and now renegotiate whatever they were homing in on now that they've added, Los Angeles. And so, they announced those rights and they haven't added any more schools, haven't added Oregon and Washington or Notre Dame or whatever. We might be done for a little bit. Obviously, the domino effect is just beginning. We got to figure out, who wins the rock fight between the Big 12 and Pac-10, I guess. we have a lot to figure out there, but like we automatically fast forward and we're like, okay, Big Ten will take these teams, and then the SEC will take them, and so on and so forth. We could be done for a little while with the really big moves if we get that announcement of the media rights.
Well, Oregon and Washington are still sitting here saying, "What about us?" So, what about them?
Yeah, that is going to be. They're in the hardest spot in the world, in that they really might, you know, be part of future Big Ten plans, but maybe not for a few years. Maybe, you know, the media rights get announced, and they're looking at, you know, hey, maybe in 5 years we'll get to move. But if they don't move, then where do you feel most comfortable right now? Do you feel it with a you know, a Pac-12 that just adds, you know, San Diego State and Boise or UNLV or whatever? Do you get intrigued by the thought of joining like half your conference and then move to the western third of the Big 12 that's 18 or 20 teams? Like it's going to be, they held a lot of cards here. If they don't land in the Big 10, they're going to kind of determine who survives out of those two conferences and what it looks like.
So if you're the Big 10 and the SEC and the real move is two mega conferences or some sort of super league, what prevents each of you from poaching four teams and essentially making the ACC so irrelevant that the grant of rights is no longer a conversation?
Well, I think the biggest thing that could prevent that from happening is just, you know, think about this in terms of how much money the SEC is going to be making, 100 whatever million per school, and the Big Ten is going to come out with its number soon, and it's going to be pretty similar. Anybody else they add, the overall dollar figures could be ridiculous or even more ridiculous, but that per school number might go down. So they really might just decide like, yeah, we could rule the world completely if we want and have like a 40 team top division of college football, but our schools would be making less money per school in that case. So why don't we just stay with this? I think that's going to be kind of interesting because it makes perfect sense that, you know, both of these, you know, start just continue, you know, adding assets and whatnot. But, you know, if Alabama is going to make 100, whatever, 5 million, like things are currently, but they'd only make 102 million a year in some other scenario, that means they might not do it. We'll see. I'm very curious about that aspect of it.
I feel like we're talking about monopoly money. It's so insane to be thinking about $100 million per year per school in some of this. But then I look at Notre Dame. And again, if we're going to go with some concept of a super conference, if I'm the Big Ten and I'm the SEC, I negotiate my own college football playoff and I tell Notre Dame, you're either in with us or you're stuck out in the cold. Well, I mean, how concerned should Notre Dame be about being essentially boxed out?
Yeah, I mean, I think they know they're going to have the option. Like, they're going to, in that scenario, and that is a way to make that per school number go up, is if the Big Ten and SEC start to join in and say, let's do this and have our own playoff. But in that scenario, they still tell the Notre Dame, are you in or out? And they can say, okay, fine, we're in. So in that, I mean, I guess it's not what they want, obviously. What they want is independence and maintaining all that other stuff, even if it means a little less money in a given year. That's clearly what they want. They also know they want a shot at the national title. And so that's the way to, if you really want Notre Dame, then yeah, that's how you do it. I just don't know if it all comes to pass here in the next, especially in the next year or two.
So, Bill, I'm not sure, you know, if the gods of ESPN will like me asking this question, but I have to, right? I mean, at some point, we're looking at an SEC contract that ESPN now owns, including the game of the week. And CBS, for example, has been very adamant that they're going to be aggressive in filling that window with big college football. How much does the fact that we own this much of the SEC, which has put pressure on everybody else to overbid if they want to stay in the game, how much does that impact what everybody's paying for media rights right now?
Well, I mean, once you set the bar at a certain level, then it has to be cleared. And it will be interesting with CBS, especially because, I mean, only the Big Ten can match what the SEC is doing at this point, but there's still going to be a lot of other offerings out there. And you know, if Fox is going to end up controlling most of what the Big Ten owns or whatever does moving forward, then maybe CBS does try to put together some sort of whatever the phrasing we were hearing earlier about the ACC and Pac-12, a loose alignment or whatever. You know, maybe they try to figure out ways to just get the most attractive remaining games out there. I don't know, though, because, I mean, it's again, if we're looking at two conferences dominating everything else, I mean, there are a lot more than two networks out there that want to show major college football, and how that gets distributed. Like you said, it's going to drive the cost up. That's the one thing we absolutely know. But what that means for who it works out best for, I don't know.
I mean, when I think about the college football playoff, too, we're talking to Bill Connolly, by the way, ESPN writer. When I think about the college football playoff, I keep thinking that maybe the ACC's actually quietly playing chess. If they can keep the pieces that they have, it's going to be an easier gauntlet, no matter what they end up with at this point. Clemson's going to have an easier path to the college football playoff than anybody in these two massive conferences that have just made life more difficult, won't they?
Yeah, I mean, basically what we're looking at now, I wrote about this a little bit yesterday, just about, you know, we love our soccer metaphors now, and the Super League and all that. Well, this doesn't have to be a Super League situation where it's, you know, two leagues in a folded tent, so to speak. It could be more like the Champions League is, where everybody's invited, but we know it's going to be one of the major clubs from the major leagues that wins it. Could be a situation where you finally get our 12-team playoff or whatever, and it's just basically like four Big Ten teams, four SEC teams, and four from everywhere else. But if you're one of those conference champions like a Clemson and you get the three seed every year, then you're still in a very, very good spot compared to where you would be battling for, you know, third place or fourth or whatever in the SEC. So, I mean, as long as that holds, as long as it really doesn't become a deal where the Big Ten and SEC just fold up the tent and say, we're going to do it all ourselves, then it's not the worst time in the world to be a Clemson or like an Oklahoma State or Cincinnati or whoever becomes kind of the lord of the Big 12. Like, they sneak in and get the four seed every year. That's decent living right there.
Bill, I'm just telling you, if they don't copyright that and get rid of a champion, make me the lord of the Big 12. That is the best title I've ever heard. So we're going to make Paul Feinbaum history here, because I don't think the Feinbaum show has ever talked about sand volleyball. But, you know, I use sand volleyball as a very specific example. USC has a beach volleyball team. Obviously, the Big Ten does not have beach volleyball as a sport. So beach volleyball will remain a Pac-12 sport. Is there some consideration to, or has there been any conversation that you can tell so far about what's going to happen to all the Olympic sports, non-revenue generating sports, as some call them, and trying to figure out where their home lies in this process?
Yeah, that's always been the most fun thing over these last few years. Like, I live in Columbia, Missouri. And, you know, home of the 10-time MAC champion wrestling team, the Missouri Tigers, when basically if your sport's not offered, you're like, all right, well, who's offering? And then you figure out a home, and Big 12 wrestling, and it, wrestling has been especially funny for that. But, you know, hockey as well. It really is kind of a free-for-all. I'm sure they'll find a home. It probably won't be anything with PAC in the title. I doubt anybody's too real, you know, particularly pleased with them right now. But they will find a home. And, you know, hey, maybe this is the time for the MAC to really jump into the beach volleyball scene. Maybe that's how that works out.
Well, and so, look, I acknowledge that this is deep in the weeds. A lot of people listening may not care about that. But I have to stress to everybody, Title IX is a federal law. So any university that gets federal funding has to be Title IX compliant. So the loss of a sand volleyball team is going to mean the loss of scholarship athletes at some level in some schools. Like, these are things that will have to be accounted for, won't they?
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, they have, what, a year and a half, basically, or 2 years, really, I guess. And I mean, like I said, you know, even if it's, I admittedly, this is a blind spot for me. I don't know the power ranking of conferences for beach volleyball. But, you know, if the West Coast Conference offers it, then maybe you land there. They'll have a chance to find it a home so that they don't have to drop it by all means, or maybe you can go independent. But no, it's one of those domino effects that, okay, now we've made the jump. Now look at the 146 things we have to take care of between now and 2024. That is absolutely one of them.
Yeah, it's going to be wild to see some of these ancillary things that are just sitting around that need to be taken care of. I don't know how everybody's going to figure it out. I know you should follow Bill at ESPN_BillC. Always appreciate your time and your expertise, Bill. Thanks so much for hanging out with me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.